This is holy ground for me. Never every church is holy ground, but because you're here, because so many of those that we knew and loved, many of them have gone on to be with the Lord, this is a special, special place. Special, one reason is that our boys grew up here, and y'all were helpful. It was a team effort. And you know, our boys are who they are today because of you. I pray almost as much as because they're ours, but y'all have influenced them and continue to do that to this very, very day. They love you and appreciate you as well. We were here 25 years, came as a 29-year-old in 1979, and we left in 2005. Rob was 4 years old when we got here, and Ryan was two. The first folk that we saw, I think, was probably Betty Spitzer. She had Rob for four-year-old kindergarten twice because we were holding him back. He was at a September birthday. But those, I tell you what, we just appreciate you and love you. The thought that came to my mind as I was on the way, and I thought about you and those that have gone on, I could only pastor one church at a time. I'm not sure if that makes sense to folks or not, but I just couldn't do any more than that. And though we kept up with you and we prayed for you, we didn't try to be your pastor during those years, but know that you've been loved, and we pray for you often. I'm a better pastor through the years because of our ministry assistants. I'm not going to try to name everybody that we've served with, but Joan Mercer and Diane Hitchcock, they doubled, tripled my ministry, and I appreciate them so very, very much. Our associate pastors through the years, and we've had many of those. Keith, where's Keith? Keith Chandler, bless you, buddy. Isn't he fine? And Sandra, whoa, I tell you, bless you. You're just still doing it. And we're just, what a blessing. Y'all know Mike Senior? As I've grown older, I don't know that I've got dementia or Alzheimer's, but I have lost the ability to have names, remember names. I'm serious. It's a medical. I've been tested. I can prove it. That I ain't what I used to be. I used to have Mike Senior stand right next to me often, and he'd kind of whisper names, keep me up. So I've never been very, very good at it. There are just so many of our associates that have been just such good friends, and we've had been blessed as a result of them. I think about the pastors. The founding pastor at First Baptist Lithia Springs is Arnold Patterson. They started in the school and then built the building. And the week they were getting in, it burned down. Had to start all over again. That's tough stuff. But they did. Marion Beaver, has anybody heard of Marion Beaver? Marion was here for 25 years, and then he went to his home church in Marietta, and then when he retired 7 years later, we called him back as our senior adult minister. And Marion Beaver is unique in ministers all over the world, isn't he? We love him and miss him and know that I expect if there are hospitals in heaven, he visits them every day. Kevin McCoy, I appreciate Kevin. And I've been keeping up with him on Facebook, and he's loving this associational missionary work. I think he's just cut out for it too. And so I'm excited to keep up with that. I've thought about those our ministers, and there are things that I wish I could have had or want more of. But one of the things I want the energy of Kevin McCoy. I want the compassion of Marion Beaver. And I want the sincerity of Arnold Patterson. And I want to preach like Jewel Patterson. Jewel, Arnold's wife, was partner in ministry, and really of the four of us. And you add Jewel, she was by far the best preacher of all. I have got Roxanne to work on a little phrase that I was interested in. And Roxanne, I'm going to get you to say it for us. It has to do with the present and the past and the future. Just shout it out for us. Well, I know, and I have looked and looked and looked. It is respect the past. Mm-hmm. All right, isn't that great? That's what I think every church ought to do. Well, I hope you'll turn with me in your Bibles. We'll probably have some of the words on the screen, but some of you still have your Bibles with you. I don't know that I've ever thought too much about it, but turn to your electronic machines that you've got. We have folks, I know I use mine in the Bible that's on it, and all these teenagers that are here, when they're on there, they're sending texts to me, and they're saying, now, can you tell me that point again? You know, they're keeping up. In Luke chapter 5 and in verse 1, let me read this passage. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. And Simon, he answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and they filled boats filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. And so they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. When you're buying something, particularly a car or a truck. You know, there's some fancy trucks out there. Y'all know they're but it's important to get to what we call the bottom line. You know what the bottom line, it when you see the bottom line of what it costs, or you know, you have to figure that out because they don't always put it on the sticker, do they? But you get sticker shock when you discover. Now, many people are only interested in the basic model when it comes to being a Christian. Now, they want just enough Christianity to keep them out of hell and yet not make a firm commitment to Jesus as Lord. Now, you don't find the full cost of discipleship in every church. Sometimes you'll be seeing an ad and they'll be doing what is called bait and switch. They'll advertise this great buy, and then when you get there, it's not there. They're out of that and they want to show you something else. Well, some churches are using that same marketing approach to get buyers. And they don't really talk about the full price of discipleship, or the bottom line of discipleship, which is following Jesus. And so that's where we're going to begin today is following Jesus. And so in verse 11, they pulled their boats up to shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Now, we ought to be prepared for sticker shock of the high cost of following Jesus. Peter was a natural born leader, and he became a follower of Jesus. I read not long ago about a young lady who had wanted to go to Harvard University. I never really thought about going to Harvard. Shorter was good enough for me, Roxanne. But she was just really, honestly, an average student. And her parents, they tried to tone that down because, you know, her hopes of admission were just completely unrealistic. But she applied when it got time to Harvard, and do you know that she received a letter? You have been accepted as a student at Harvard University. Her parents were so astonished, they called the director of admissions. And they just thought there must have been a mistake. Now that's bad within itself, isn't it? But that tells you the truth. And he assured them that there was no mistake, that he said, you know, when we receive an application on it, the question is, are you a leader or a follower? He said, when your daughter wrote, she said, you know, I've always been a good follower. And he said to them, said, you know, we have hundreds, thousands of folks who are good leaders, but we've only had one who said they were a good follower, and we want her. She's been accepted. You know, Jesus is looking for good followers, and so are you one? Now, leadership, it's a big topic in these days in business as well as in Christian circles, but you know, in God's kingdom, no one becomes a good leader who doesn't first prove to be a faithful follower. And so we're called to be followers. And Jesus is looking for good followers. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a good follower? Well, it means to lay down everything and follow Jesus. That's what Jesus said here. He said, follow me. And I hope that you've heard those words. That it means to lay down everything and follow Jesus. I know your heart and mine. We want to be committed to Jesus. I mean, we really want to serve him. We want to lay it all down and be a follower of the Lord Jesus. But following Jesus is a journey. You know, I don't think I've ever met anybody who's really arrived at the place where that they're totally committed, totally sold out to honor God with all that they do. Following Jesus is a journey. We'll never be the end of completely sold out, laying everything down completely until we get into heaven itself. It's a day-by-day process. You know, the goal of a Christian, I think, is just this, is to become more and more like the Lord Jesus. Now, that will last all of our lives. And I'm talking about a relationship with Jesus. And like every other relationship, it has to grow. You have to work at it. Now, as I remember, there are a lot of good cooks in this church. I bragged on them in their chocolate pound cakes. And I kept saying, you know, when I'd get one, I'd say, you know, I got the best chocolate cake I've ever had this week. I think some of y'all can do better. I think that's, but now if you're a good cook, it didn't just happen, did it? I mean, you had to learn. You had to put an effort and time into being a good cook. And it didn't just happen all of a sudden. Now, what I think the passage and what Jesus is speaking to us through Spirit today is that if you want to lay down everything and follow Jesus, and you're a good cook, you put as much time and energy and effort into being a follower of the Lord Jesus as you do cooking. Now, for some people, that would really step up our following Jesus if you're a good cook. Well, we can see if you're a good hunter. Now, we're in Jasper County, Monticello, Georgia, and it's the deer capital of the world, I think. It really is a good place to hunt. But, you know, if you're a hunter, and you're a good hunter, you have to work at it. I mean, you put a lot of time and effort into it. You're committed to it. What else? What in all of this world would cause somebody to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning in 10-degree weather and go out into the woods? You know, that's amazing, isn't it? Now, those of you who are hunters, this is the challenge that I want to give you today. I believe it comes from the Lord. And that is, if you're a good hunter, then put as much time and effort in being a good follower of the Lord Jesus as you do hunting. Now, that's fair, isn't it? You think about sports. You may be a player or just a fanatic. It might be football or baseball, basketball, soccer, golf. If you're good at it, put as much time and effort in being a follower of Jesus as you do in that sport. What is it that excites you? Some of you never pick up a book except for what one thing, maybe another. But you're interested in it, and you'll pick up a book. Some of you guys, you never read, not even the Bible, bless you. But now you'll read whatever it is that interests you. Now, be as excited and as diligent about following Jesus as that. Well, not only lay down everything and follow Jesus, but there's another truth from this passage, and we read about it in verse 1. The truth is that common folks, you know what common folks, that people like you and me, were asked to do holy work. Some folks think, you know, that being a strong Christian, that's for preachers and deacons. But now, it's not. In verse 1, Jesus, he comes along and sees these disciples. They're coming back in from fishing. Verse 1, it says, one day. It doesn't say it was a holy day. It doesn't even say it was a Sunday. It just says one day. Here were these guys who were doing what they've always done. And Jesus came by and he did business with them. The guys who were doing the fishing got the call to be a follower of Jesus. It wasn't the teachers at the synagogue or the temple. Now, what that means to me is that common folks are called to do holy work. You know, you understand that we're all sinners. I mean, every one of us, there's no degrees to sin. Now, we like to pick out sins and we kind of categorize them and make some of them worse than others. And the consequences are certainly different. But now the Bible teaches us that all have sinned. Sin means to miss the mark. It means not to live up to the glory of God. And you know, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but you agree you're a sinner, don't you? And God uses sinners to change this world. And if we're going to make a difference, then where we live and everywhere in this world, all of us, not just the ministers and Sunday school teachers, not just what we call, I don't even like to talk about super spiritual folks, because they're not. I'm talking about redeemed sinners doing holy work. If I'd been writing the Bible, I'd have talked about holy people doing holy work. But that's, you know, God knew what he was talking about. Common people redeemed by the power of God, transformed by the Holy Spirit, did the work of Jesus. That's holy work. In his place, his hands and feet, Jesus begins to change us, to touch our world for others. When we lay down everything and follow Jesus, and then we just realize that we're common folk who are called to do holy work. Well, there's in verse 4, we read how that we're going to be following Jesus. We're going to be obedient and fish deeper. Now, this would be a good time to have Marion give us testimony about fishing. He could do it, couldn't he? There's a call for every person, every generation, in verse 4, it says, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. You know, what most of us do, most of us have some experience with Lord Jesus. I was almost 9 years old as a boy, and I gave my heart and life to Jesus. I remember talking to my pastor, Paul Moody, who's with the Lord now, and he shared from God's word and shared some stories with me in my living room at my home and there with my mother, and I prayed and asked God to forgive me for my sin, to come into my life, and you know, I as best that I know how, I began a relationship with the Lord Jesus on that day, the Thursday before Easter in 1959. You know, for a lot of us, that kind of experience is about it for us. I mean, we had a beginning, but that's what it is. And yet Jesus has called us to learn more, to love him more. The last sermon I preached at First Baptist Church, Lithia Springs, I'm sure you remember it, would have been a week or so before Easter in 2005. Surely you could come up with it. And the truth is, I preached from Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. And it was a prayer. This is my prayer. This is what I pray for Roxanne. I pray it for our boys. I pray it for their wives. I pray it for our grandchildren. And in verse 9, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and delight of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of the righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. Now, that ought to be our prayer day after day. God wants us to fish deeper, because it's in the deep water that Jesus wanted them to go. Now, if we're going to obey God, we're going to follow Jesus. Well, in verse 4, he says, put out into the deep, let down the nets for a catch. And Simon Peter, he answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Now, that obedience is what made those disciples, and they began, and they learned the lesson from the Lord Jesus. Just obey and follow him. So lay down everything and follow Jesus. Do the work, holy work, that God's called you to do. Be obedient and fish deeper. And then last, it's a grace principle. I don't know if you've thought of it as that, but there's a principle that Jesus is teaching in this story as well. If Jesus doesn't do it, it won't be done. Now, that is real good news, because if it depends on you, it won't get done. If Jesus doesn't do it. Now, Peter moved out to the deep water, lowered his nets. Now, Peter knew that you didn't fish in deep water, because you fished in shallow water. That's where the fish fed. And yet Jesus said, go over there. And he followed that. And then as he's there with the nets, all of a sudden he feels the net as it stops. And I expect his first thought was, I've caught a rock. Now, there's something, I'm not much of a fisherman and fish a lot. Some of you are, but now one of the reasons why you fish is that there's that moment when fish takes the hook and bait. And for a moment there's a sensation, there's just an anticipation. Some of you love that. And then you feel it. And that must have happened for Peter and the disciples as the excitement. And so they began to pull the net in. And you know, what a great fish story. I mean, there was so much that they could not haul it in. Now, there's so much more to the Christian life than just praying, having our sins forgiven, having our ticket to heaven punched. There's an area of blessing and abundance that's only discovered by those who, like Peter, are willing to go to the deep water. I want to close with just this verse from Mark chapter 10. It's not a part of our story as we began, but really it says it again. And in Mark chapter 10, in verse 28, Peter said to Jesus, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me, and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. And what he's talking about, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. That's the goal. What that means is, don't give up. You don't give up anything when you follow Jesus. His blessings are fresh and new every day. Is God calling you to be something, to do something, to serve Him in some way? I believe one of the hardest decisions that Peter ever made in all of his life was the decision he made that day to walk away from his boats and his nets and his career, but it was the most important decision that he ever made. Following Jesus, not easy, to be sure. But we are to lay down everything and follow Jesus. We're to do holy work. We're to be obedient and fish deeper. We're not going to try to do it in our own, but we're going to depend upon the Lord Jesus who lives within us. And if he doesn't do it, it won't get done. Let's trust him to do it. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you. What a sweet time just to be together. Such good friends and new friends. And Lord, I ask your blessings on this church. I pray for their committee as they seek person that you want to lead this church. We're excited about the future, and so I pray you'll just prepare them and lead them. Pray for the interim pastor who's coming. He's gifted, and that you'll use him. But Lord, just be glorified in this church. So much potential, so much joy, so much love and giving that goes on in this church family. I thank you as I've been the recipient of that as well. Lord, I pray for the believers that are in our group today and others listening that you'll just use this time to draw us close to you, Lord Jesus. We pray that you'd speak to us now. We're going to be quiet just a bit. We're going to just pause a moment. We're going to try to seek your spirit, your will for us, your will for this church. Lord, speak to us. If there are those who are here, someone needs to step out to publicly profess that they trust Jesus as Lord and Savior of life. What joy that would bring to this church family. Others that membership somewhere else, but they want to be a part of this church family. What a great place to plant your life and to serve. Jesus. Lord, for those of us who know you, love you, in your will.